I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let me see if I got this straight. I come to you with what may be the preeminent discovery of the 20th century, the possibility of extrasolar life, and I get shit-canned for it?
Zane, I know how important this is, but searching for ETs in this political environment is a tough sell on Capitol Hill.
I look like a can of smashed assholes.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, and welcome to Film Sack. I hope you had a nice Christmas, everyone, and I hope your New Year's awesome, too. We are here to mine the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, as usual. This is episode 633, and I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. He spent this whole movie just wishing he owned all the CRTs they had done away.
Oh, give me that one, and I'll take one of those. Ooh, is that a 27-inch? Oh, hi. Yeah. This week on Film Sack, we find ourselves listening intently for the arrival of just one glowing finger's worth of intelligent life from this 1996 sci-fi thriller starring everybody's favorite. Oh, please, God, won't the global warming take us already? Charlie Sheen with glasses and a goatee. I give 50 visual IQ points for the glasses, 10 GQ points for the goatee. If you don't know what GQ is, then you probably didn't grow up in the 90s when we took our fashion advice and cologne samples from magazine. Who needs to buy cologne when you can just rub a magazine page all over your body? Which is what the director was probably high on when he agreed to make this movie. Oh, a shiny Sheen has appeared. No, shiny Sheen. Why have you betrayed us? Anywho. Wait, Glorp. We're aliens. Wait, Glorp. Are you saying these humans have knees that go like, oh, praise be to the alien gods, that hurt so much? That's the wrong angle for knees. But yes, I think I can do that two or three times daily to increase our very literal green gas production of green gas balls that we release into the atmosphere to terraform the planet and make some shiny sheens that can towel off on the balcony. Stupid humans will never suspect a thing. Ha! Take that, colder climate humans. Now I must run away. Oh, high jumping gods of our people, the pain. Totally worth it. Randy, I'm glad this movie has a character I can relate to so it can explain science to me without being weird about it. Rotates hat 45 degrees. Oh, balls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, balls. Oh, balls. Oh, bend the knee. Wait, not that way.
No, wrong way.
Wrong way, buddy. All right, let's also welcome to the show Randy. He'd like to celebrate the arrival of the 90s ass goatee Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian, and thank Randy. You for coming to this seminar on, well, you know what's really going on here, don't you? We don't need to say the quiet part out loud. We're all living in, you and I, all of us, are in on the big secret. And as you know, it's easy to hide massive conspiracies from whole continents of humans. Just look at the conspiracy to have Taylor Swift take over the NFL. No one notices what's really going on, because you wouldn't think the plan would be to have the Chiefs lose every stinking game the year after winning the Super Bowl in order to advance the plan. But that's how they get you, isn't it? You know better, and you are going to be even more adept at escaping with your life when everyone's trying to kill you if you simply follow my three paranoid rules. Okay. Number one, don't do a damned thing to protect yourself. Go home, start a neighborhood-wide science project that anyone can see if they just walk by your house and look into your window. Number two, once you realize that your life is on the line, travel openly during the day when you could be spotted. Don't wear a disguise. Disguises are for pussies and Mexican Ron Silver, who is a pussy. Number three.
Wow.
Ouch. Remember that when you finally have evidence that the conspiracy is true, the only way to make people know about it is to broadcast it to their televisions mm-hmm. without any kind of explanation or context. Could you have hired investigators and attorneys with all of your clearly substantial wealth? Yes, but where's the fun in that? Get yourself on TV, baby. You're going to be a star.
Oh, you are. Simple, simple steps to becoming a star. With us finally, Brian, I'll never forget the time he made three tubs collapse through three floors of a Mexican building like a Bugs Bunny cartoon Ibbit.
Oh, yeah. The bathtub stacking championships.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. For this one, I'm going to encourage you, if you have access to them, to have the lyrics of this one in front of you. There's a lot of stuff. I have a lot of stuff to cover here in this song. We watched 45 songs for... we watched 45 movies for FilmSec this year, and I'm going to go through all of them.
What?
Oh, wow. Amazing.
That's a long intro. Hold on. Okay, here we go. Here it goes. Shit, critique, Domingo phone. Randy can't leave Catwoman alone. Checklist, trope alerts, film sack history. Scrutiny, Brian's prom. Did I ever tell you about the time? Cave vaginas, now let's talk about 2023. Jordan Peele told us no, Cabin in the Woods, horror tropes, non-stop and red, I made us all afraid to fly, Hollow and Swiss Army Men, Man of Fire, we gave a 10, Moonfall, Walking Tall, Bond is back in Thunderball. The Arrival was a dumpster fire, I think she was on crack, but we watched for film sack. The Arrival was a dumpster fire, but we got to talk smack, watching things for film sack. Tom Cruise ran in MI3, then we watched him live, die, repeat, Triple Dose, Stallone, and Rambo, Cobra, and Creed. Iron Eagle and The Mist got our scares with The Exorcist. 3 Days of the Condor, Redford did the deed. Patriot Games were no child's play. Cocaine Bear got away. Stay Alive, Uber Drive, in a movie called Spree. Watch The Flash, Batman Return. Don't forget The Green Lantern. So you see, poor Feige, we gave more time to DC. The Arrival was a dumpster fire. It's our final movie, and this year was groovy. The Arrival was a dumpster fire, and she smoked a doobie, and it made him kooky. Haunting, Conjuring, Slacker was nonstop talking. Uncharted, Who Farted, franchise stopped before it started. 65 Mystery Men, Stranded, Dating Two Men, Strange Days, Underworld, Where the Lycan Gets the Girl.
Oh my gosh.
Black Rain, Daredevil, the Coen started, Blood Simple, Travolta heard a murder on a recording device. Oh. Women die who try to date him, Bourne gives them an ultimatum, Bond got racist and you only live twice. The Arrival was a dumpster fire, but it's our conditioning that you still keep listening. The Arrival was a dumpster fire, but in 24, there will still be more, be more, be more, be more, be more, be more, be more.
I didn't know we'd get a finale.
I didn't either. Dude,
wow. Can we get an encore as well?
Brian, I have no notes. No notes. That was amazing.
Oh.
That was your best work. You saved your best work for the end of the year. That was incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Came up with the idea of doing that basically when we ended the last one. I was like, oh, it'd be really cool to do a recap. And then I'm like, oh, I probably should have something in there about the Arrival song.
Shoehorned
it into the chorus.
No, that's perfect.
I'm glad we're landing on the Arrival for the last movie of the year.
Yeah.
Like, I really feel like somehow in a year of sacky film sack movies, we have found the sackiest of the year.
Cherry
at the end.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
This feels the sackiest by whatever that, I don't know, our definition evolves.
Sackometer.
It feels right. that this is it for 2023. And we saw, it's funny, I was reminded in that song, we saw a lot of good movies this year too.
We did. Oh yeah. Yeah, Man on Fire and Edge of Tomorrow, which I'm still going to call Lived, I Repeat because it rhymes with MI3.
It's also a way better term or way better name.
It's a way better title. Yeah.
And this is like such a Christmas gift to me. I've been waiting. You ever finish something and you're like, oh, I can't wait for other guys to get here and see this bullshit.
Yep.
Because they're not gonna believe it.
Yeah.
And this is like the best gift. I almost cried. I was like, oh my God.
It's like a Christmas miracle.
Randy and Scott are watching this right now. And I want to be right there with them.
I wish I could watch it again for the first time ever.
I know Scott's got an intro for us, but I just want to say, Scott, we're all waiting for your assessment of this movie.
Yeah. I will save my major thoughts for after the intro, but I will say that the minute somebody cracks their legs backwards is the second I went, oh, what? Okay. All right. Yeah. Now we're cooking with gas.
This movie just upped its game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's real. It's real dumb from here forward. And it did not disappoint. So I had a great time with it. Let's get to that fake. Oh, one quick note. Congratulations to Brian Ibbett for doing the impossible, which is somehow making Kevin Feige's last name rhyme with something else. I'm impressed. I can't believe you actually freaking pulled that off. That's amazing.
That one worked out really well.
Worked out great in the end. All right, here is your fake Fletcher introduction for the film The Arrival.
The Arrival!
Uh-huh.
Zane, an astronomer, discovers intelligent alien life. But the aliens are keeping a deadly secret and will do anything to stop Zane from learning it. I think Charlie Sheen is on a lot of drugs and living with 20 porn actors around this time. Gross!
Yeah, this would have been his era, man. This was his his cocaine, snorting cocaine off a hooker's bum.
Tiger Blood and I'm a Wizard.
He's not far.
If it imperfect, he needed to play a paranoid person here, and he does perfect. It's perfect for the role.
It's funny though, because this movie's considered it is a huge flop. Flopped at the box office, but it's also
25 million budget, made like 16 million back. But I don't know. It's on every freaking free thing you can think of now. Is that?
The reason given for it is everybody always says, oh, that's because Independence Day also came out like a month later or something like that.
Yeah, they were advertising the crap at Independence Day. So if you were seeing all the hype around Independence Day, and oh my God, was there hype if you weren't around those toys, there was commercials. It was the summer of the Independence Day. Mm-hmm. It was huge.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, it was a big it was a big whoop.
By the way, I just want to correct on the Charlie Sheen point. I looked up his biography and went through it all very carefully to place this movie. At this time, he was married to Donna Peel, living with Donna Peel, and was pretty small time, all things considered. Obviously, he was, in the midst of his rise of nepotism, but he was not at all wacky or he hadn't given any interviews, like, or done any late shows with weirdness yet. All of that happened like 10 years after.
Absolutely. We didn't know how crazy Charlie Sheen was until later, right?
When did Two and a Half Men start? Like, what was that?
Early aughts, right? Or late 90s?
Yeah. Two and a Half Men starts in...
It was after this, though.
2003.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
2003 is Two and a Half Men.
So 20 years ago, which is still pretty significant. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this would have been... So this is like, post-Platoon, post... what was the movie called Wall Street? It was about Wall Street.
Wasn't there a movie about a street called Wall Street?
He had made some serious money with The Rookie in 90 and The Three Musketeers in 93.
Mm.
But I'm just saying he was still on the rise. He in his first marriage, he's been married three times, and he was not at all the person that we think of who melted down in 2010.
That would have been 2010, because TMS really, when we launched, it was like Charlie Sheen wall to wall for a while there.
So many clips and stuff of Sheen.
But when was your necessary, not necessary roughness, what was the baseball movie?
Major League,
the one that Randy loved so much. That was that was prior to this, right?
When he was Wild Thing. Okay.
80s, 80s. That sounds right.
That was peak Sheen to me. For my mm-hmm. money, that was peak Sheen.
4 years prior to this, Hot Shots. Let's see. So that was a little goofy. Men at Work. Some stuff in here. Yeah. There was a moment there where we all went, all right, second generation Sheens. We got this going here. Yeah. This is good. Him and Emilio Estevez kicking ass.
Doing great, too. Yeah. Breakfast Club. And
And then things got weird.
And they did that Trash Can or Garbage Man movie together.
Men at Work.
And
Men at
so, work did, so we did Terminal Velocity, right? Didn't we do that?
It sounds like something we would do.
I feel like we did Terminal Velocity. I need to look that up because that was the year prior, and I
don't know. We didn't do Terminal. Oh my God, we did a bunch of those where there was like there was people jumping out of airplanes,
and those names are also interchangeable, right? It's We probably watched a dozen movies that could have been called Terminal Velocity.
Yeah, that's true. We did not do it. It turns out I just did a
Fast
search.
Fall. Okay,
we should. Well, this is
be on our list.
This should be on our list at some point. Although I'm not saying we stack our Sheen experiences.
I'm good for at least a week.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I feel like those need to have a bigger gap between those than Bond movies.
Yeah, like once a year, maybe.
Yeah. Coming at the end of this episode, we're going to stack our Danny DeVito. Okay, we'll talk about that.
Oh, my gosh. We are going to do that.
Well,
that's okay,
they're small, so they're easy to stack. That's good.
Yeah. He's like a Russian nesting doll. There's like three of them. He's still not my height. I can't figure it out.
Wait.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we got this directed by David Twohy.
Tui is how I pronounce it.
Oh, okay. That's smart. Yeah, Tui. That makes more sense.
All right. Twohy. Yeah, it's a weird name, but it's funny because this movie's got some crazy connections in it. Richard Schiff, who plays a very brief role at the beginning of kind of his partner, his research partner, is later murdered by the alien government. Anyway, him, Terry Polo, and Ron Silver were all in the West Wing alongside Charlie Sheen's dad.
Yeah,
a few years later, 99 is when that started. And I just wonder, was there any time on the set where Richard Schiff would walk up, who played Toby, walked up to Martin Sheen and said, Mr. President, your son is snorting cocaine out of it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Yeah. Could have been. But he had a tiny role in this. I wish it would have been bigger because I like Richard Schiff a lot. He's fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a lot of fun to watch. Yeah.
But David Twohy is not an unknown quantity. He's a writer. He primarily writes screenplays. And, we have sacked him a few times already. Probably most recently, The Fugitive.
Right.
He wrote the screenplay for that. And he's the guy behind the Pitch Black movies, Riddick. Yeah,
Chronicles of Riddick and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah, the Riddick movies.
It feels a lot more like Riddick movies than it feels like The Fugitive, which was just a good translation of a story that already existed.
Yeah, this is this felt like because Riddick would come right after this, I think, right?
Right.
The first one, which was called Pitch Black. Yeah, and that would really. I mean, for good or for bad, or I don't know, depends on how you feel. I don't think the Riddick movies are as good as everyone thinks they are. But for whatever it is, that's this guy's, opus. That's his thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he sticks with it for a long time, and he's coming back for I guess they're doing a new one. Mm. It says there's a project underway. I don't know how real that is or whatever. Could be smoke. I don't know. But this did not reach those levels for me. This felt like almost like a television. This felt like early sci-fi, early sci-fi channel qualities, effects and acting and filming and all that.
I want to praise the cinematography because
really?
I don't feel like this movie has any business looking this good in terms of shots. The cinematography of this movie, the placement of the camera, the movement of the camera, it felt real good to me. Like what much better than the overall movie. And so the cinematographer is Hiro Narita. This is the person who was behind the camera for Star Discovered Country. And we'll just, that's an early Star Trek connection for you. I'll give you an actor later.
Right.
He did the cinematography for The Rocketeer. And when you start looking at his list, you're like, oh, The Arrival looks like these, which are perfectly well shot films.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was curious. So there is something that feels odd about this film. I think it falls into the editing category. I don't know if they didn't get the shots, but some shots, obviously blue screen, green screen, Charlie Sheen. I didn't even mean to do that. There's some places where it's like that shot was not only it was unnecessary, and it really showed the stitching. of the movie, and I was like, why did they do that? I couldn't quite figure out exactly where to place some of the gankiness.
Well, the effect works in the underground bunkery stuff as he went down that elevator. Real rough down there, real trouble.
Don't forget, this same year as Independence Day, a huge budget film that's coming out with some really good special effects, the best at the time. And yeah, this looked like a sci-fi, like you guys have said, a TV movie.
Yeah, a TV movie, it's got a high-minded concept though that I really like. I really like this idea of the infiltration of the government and science from an alien source, and they're manipulating shit and tweaking it. And that's interesting. It creates a lot of tension, and what are we going to do to expose it? And in the right hands with the right budget, this is a way more successful film.
And wasn't it weird when you had the realization, oh my gosh, I'm watching a 27-year-old movie about global warming?
Yeah. And see, that was one of my problems with the film, because I'd already been – I recently watched Medicine Man. And so, and Ferngully, these were all movies at the time that were accused of talking down to us and treating us like we don't get, you know, global warming, or we don't get the impact of cutting down the rainforest and that kind of stuff. And so you need to kind of shove that message in our face. Mm. And so I was kind of primed for that a little bit. And I was like, oh man, it feels a little heavy handed on the global warming. As a matter of fact, it's like sometimes I'm not sure, is the message trying to tell us, oh, you know what, you better get on it, because if you don't, the aliens are going to come down and make it worse.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, that message was weirdly mixed, because on the one hand it was like, well, you guys, I think the alien said it, the Ron Silver alien said, well, you guys started it, we're just accelerating it, and can do what to take you 100 years to ruin your stuff, we're going to do it in 10. And I thought, oh, so wait a minute. Are we better because we're taking longer to do this shit? Right. Or is it?
Right. No. It felt a little heavy handed, but I totally dismissed that. We did a lot of that in the 90s. Sometimes films want to feel like they're really important. God, we got to sack the Medicine Man, because it really wants to feel like it's important. And when you look back at it, you're like, oh yeah, we were just.
Well, and that's what ranting. I love so much about this movie. Like if I'm going to defend it, I love that this movie doesn't take itself too seriously. Ultimately, the real story here is of someone who looks like a conspiracy theorist and wishes people would just listen to him and believe him. And that can be a very action-packed place to be, you know, like, because he's tried to escape from people who are trying to kill him, and he's trying to understand what in the world he's seeing, and like that, you know, and like the action's good. I felt like it was just, you know, it was very deftly told, this conspiracy theorist who's actually telling the truth. You're not paranoid if they really are out to get you, right? Like that's a good movie.
Yeah. Have you guys seen, anybody seen the sequel that they made in 98?
I skimmed through the first part of it, but it's not there, right?
Just for this, right? It wasn't you skimmed through it years ago or something.
Yeah. I'd actually done it a while back, because I was like, oh, I didn't know they ever made a sequel. I forget when it was.
Anyone come back for that? Like, it's not Sheen again, is it?
I can't even remember, but I remember thinking, I started watching a little bit, and I remember thinking, you know what? I don't think I'll ever have the experience I had that attracted me to this movie. When the aliens first cock back their knees, that was like,
yeah, that's hard to beat.
I'm engaged.
I had to, like, Tina was just leaving the room, and that happened. I'm like, oh, Tina, get back in here. You
right, right.
See
whoa,
this.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah, don't leave yet, babe. You gotta see.
10 seconds too early to see this, and just laughing my head off that special.
Yeah, that I don't, you know, I don't know how much we were supposed to laugh at that, but boy, did I laugh at that. Like, I was like, all right, I'm supposed to be freaked out. I'm supposed to feel uncomfortable about what he transformed into. And instead, I just went, like, what the frick is going on in this movie?
You can't stop watching this, like, what are they going to do next? What are they going to do next? Come on.
Let me follow that real quick.
Yeah.
It's Jane Sibbett and Patrick Muldoon in The Arrival 2.
Okay.
Patrick and I just Muldoon. I want you to hear the description of the movie.
I don't know who that is, Patrick Muldoon.
He handsome guy who
Handsome guy. That's always
what? But I can't tell you a single thing that I remember him being in.
I have to look him up. That name is
He was Starship Troopers, right? He was the guy that
not the main guy, right?
Not the main guy. Not the Casper Van Diem, but the guy that his girlfriend leaves him.
Daniel for. Jackson. No,
that's a different franchise.
Yeah.
Patrick Muldoon. Where is it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers. Okay. So, yeah, he's the guy that, Denise Richards leaves. Oh, that's right.
Casper
Van Dien. Oh, for, this guy. Yeah. All right.
You probably know him more from Melrose Place. That tells right. you where his right. where he yes. kind of fits in.
He's starting right. to look like, who's that funny guy from Saving Silverman and a million other things? Shit. He looks like,
shit.
I can't think of his name. Anyway, he looks like him now that he's getting older. But whatever. This guy, you know, yeah, handsome man. Look at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd kiss him. You'd kiss him on the street. You'd have no problem with that. Be fine.
He's a good Sheen replacement.
I listened for this, but the trivia claims that the sound effects for the alien scream was the sound effect created for the velociraptors in Jurassic Park.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Can I just, I mean, I don't know why I didn't just play this.
Screw me.
I never hear that. I tried. I listened. No. I recorded. Nothing matched. I don't know what they're talking about.
No. And most of the audio stuff is not that, you know, whatever. It's fine. Fine.
Yeah. We haven't seen, when's the last time we've seen Ron Silver? It's got to be Time Cop, right? It's been that long.
I was
going
to say Time Cop, and which we get two Ron Silvers in that movie as well.
Yeah, I had all kinds of Time Cop vibes from him.
Yes.
Because he's the same sort of evil, the same sort of like, you think he's on your side. You know.
And he plays that kind of evil really good, really well. Yeah. It's that, like, no, I'm a smarter guy than you, and I have more money, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know,
do you prefer Mexican Ron Silver or American Ron Silver?
I do like preference? How Mexican Ron Silver never spoke, because that kind of would have blew it, right? Because he would have had to, like, train.
He would have had to either do a ridiculous accent. Or
it would have been racist regardless. Like, you would have been.
But I have to admit, like, it was a little unnerving, even though it was really just him with a slightly different haircut and a mustache. Maybe the hair was darker.
Yeah.
But it was unnerving. It was like, ugh, what are we doing here? Why are we? And then, you know, obviously it plays to the story. But I guess, okay, actually I have a question about that. Did they, when they go in their little, you know, turn me into a human light, you got to get naked for, apparently. You can't have any clothes
on. That bothered me.
Yeah, it's weird. What I wanted to have happen was I wanted Sheen to wear his clothes into it, turn into that Mexican actor, and then, well, wait a minute. He didn't turn full alien, though, did he? He just turned half.
No, he just turned.
He just got covered up with whatever they,
Right. It's like a
bubbly sticky wrap or whatever they have.
Right, exactly. Like they put a sheen of another body.
It's very Sheen-like quality to Charlie Sheen, but. But yeah, like when that would happen, do they have a selection to choose from with no variations?
It didn't seem like they made one, right? It seems like you just get the next one in the stack. Like
Tetris. And he kind of mentioned that too. He's like, I need to do more about your variety and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I don't know.
So the girl one that went in there that turned out to be the detective lady.
Right.
Did she get to go in and like choose her skin, or did it just give her a random skin?
They didn't tell us. Good question. Okay. They didn't tell us anything.
I get so
that's what I call some bad world building.
Yeah, I get bunged up in it because I like world building, and when it's like just thrown like that. I know we call it hand wavy, but it's just like here it is. I guess you just accept the fact that it's a human just skin generator.
You know what? You know where we might find out. On the Laserdisc with the director's commentary.
Shut up.
I'll let you know.
Shut up.
Yeah, the Blu-ray and the DVD version. Never had no other version other than the Laserdisc version of The Arrival from 1996 has director's commentary or any of the bonus features. And so I'll report.
I was thinking this was the version you watched. You didn't watch this for our
well, thing? I have purchased it, but since it's near Christmas, it's not going to arrive until today.
Oh,
so I haven't. Yeah.
Oh,
so
I thought you
arrival
found it.
Will be after
arrival.
We
exactly.
It.
The Arrival isn't until today.
Hey, look, their arrival arrives precisely when it means to. All right.
Right.
You can't predict those things. Yeah, right. I
wrote
go ahead.
Down several times, and I feel like where you're going to complain, where we're all going to complain, like things like the shape-shifting scene in the bunker,
right.
Are all in the broad, bad middle ground of this movie. And I just, several different notes I made all amount to, from the first moment we realize that a guy is an alien because he jumps onto a rooftop until we begin the whole action sequence of back in California trying to get into a broadcast facility, between those two moments, nothing matters. It doesn't, nothing, like seriously, nothing matters. all of that, all of the sequences in the Mexican bunker, everything about what he finds out and hears around the hotel in Mexico, none of it matters.
Not even the environmentalist lady who opens the whole movie just getting killed by the scorpion. Unceremoniously.
Yeah, I mean, unceremoniously is it perfect. Doesn't,
the fan scorpions that jump down.
I want to know. And see, that was a problem I had too, because I was like, was that dude in there with his little tiny coffins of scorpions? Did he put those on the, because we're the one that the light, these scorpions are not acting like scorpions, man. Mm-hmm. Were they specially trained scorpions, alien scorpions?
Apparently those are considered pets down there. I was reading trivia about those. They're not poisonous. People have them in their houses, which is why they used them, because they're not going to hurt anybody, but they're not, they're not the,
we call this one pet Stingy.
Yeah. Here's Stingy.
You, Mr. Stingy.
Did we, when they showed her body later, I assume that's from the stinging is why she's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a little thing too. I was like, yeah, he hit somebody with his car. See, look at her. Doesn't look like she got hit by a car. No, it's just like she was getting stung by scorpions and going, ah.
Yeah. She didn't look happy about that, but
no,
and I wasn't either. And I was thinking, man, these are the stealthiest, most ninja like scorpions ever, because every time she moved anything, two scorpions would reveal themselves and then scooch in. And I'm like, are you this dense?
How is she not seeing these things?
Yeah. Her perception score is shit. You got to re-roll. It was really bad. But also I was a little, I have to say, the movie surprised me with who it wanted to kill. And I don't know why, but I was surprised when Richard Schiff's body's in the thing. And then I was surprised that the woman died.
The aliens have no problem just quickly killing anybody. But with Charlie Sheen, they want it to look like an accident.
Yeah.
For some reason. They want it to look like they had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. It's
and
weird. Course,
whenever you do that, that's a trope, by the way. It's a massive trope, right? Like, we have guns, but for this one person, we're going to try to use poison. You know,
right?
It's convoluted way we can kill this person. Let's do that.
Yeah. I don't know, the decision to make them kind of like robots sometimes, and very intelligent other times. It's a very odd choice. Like one of them, the guy that played the agent early on, and then later was just. Or I think he was out there mowing. Or no, he was blowing leaves. That guy. You've seen him in a million things.
Leon Rippey, Yeah.
He's in a thousand things, and this is his job to be this. There's nothing else for him in Hollywood. Like, you just
he's a ball dropper. That's all he does.
Has to be a henchman, and not a very good one. Fire starter,
a creeper. Like,
what else we?
If you made a zombie survival movie, this guy creeps everybody out and is probably going to try to screw everyone, or gets bit and doesn't tell anyone, or some shit like that.
There you go.
That's his job.
They're so bad at doing an alien invasion. They're so bad at it.
Yeah.
Like when you get to the end of the movie and you look back, they're like, they have a technology that you can carry around in your hand that will vacuum up an entire room. And instead of using it on the U.S. Senate, they use it on some guy's attic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a gravity well, which I thought was really cool. But it was also it's insane because in one case, it'll like suck everything in the room up, and it doesn't mess with Charlie Sheen's, you know,
house.
Right. But then it like brings down the satellite, and I'm like, all right.
Yeah, either that thing was
the level two. That was the level two portable black hole. Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. That kind of annoyed me. Also, the effects of it were kind of bad, but the concept of that is very cool. An isolated gravity well that essentially creates a black hole in a small space. Very cool thing to explore and mess around with. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I was sad.
Inconsistent.
It killed a bird, and it was a nice bird.
I'm like doing a jet engine, basically.
Yeah, I'm watching that whole scene, feeling sad about the bird, and then of course when they come into the room, there's a shot of one feather, and that made it even worse. Oh,
yeah, it's
did,
weird.
Did you even once think about the neighbor's grandma? Did you ever even think about her at all?
No, she's a chick in the bucket that never left a bucket. Like, she just we got mentions of her, and I'm like, man, she like Norm's wife. We're just never gonna see this lady,
right? Never gonna see her at all. Yeah, just leave her a note for some reason, grandma.
Yeah, and that kid. I know that, you know, there's a twist with the kid, but the kid drove me crazy. Just
because again,
nuts.
The aliens are so bad at doing an invasion. If you were doing an invasion, would you send a 14-year-old looking alien in to infiltrate? Of course not.
No.
That's insane.
I liked the fact that they could hand wave any type of stereotypes that this movie could throw away at it through the ignorance of alienness. They go, how do you fool a white guy with a goatee? You send him somebody this very streetwise, right?
Yeah.
Right. He's gonna buy it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
And he's going to trust them. You know, this is quite savvy. It's good.
And us as audience members are meant to go, oh, he's a good kid. He's in a bad place in L.A. We're going to put him under his wing and he's going to become his best supporter and learn all sorts of crazy. You know, like we're meant to be fooled.
Yeah. The kid's supposed to be street smart, but school dumb. So it's also an excuse to easily explain the science out loud without looking at the audience and going,
it's purely for the audience so that we can be the kid who doesn't know anything.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Let me tell you though, there's a big scrutiny there and it deserves getting played again.
Scrutiny.
Going around and hacking everybody's large satellite dishes in the neighborhood.
I love that idea.
That is such horse shit though. None of that works.
Nobody is up at 1 a.m. watching TV on their satellite dish. Right. Okay. Yeah, okay, exactly. Sheen.
Yeah. He must have installed motors on every one of them.
Yeah.
How much did that cost? Just imagine if I said, I need you to go around this whole neighborhood. I'm going to give you a list of 20 satellite dishes and you have to install motors on every. Okay. I'll see you in 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Without the people like having any suspicion, right? Like it's,
right.
They've got a, what are you doing out there? Nothing. Just putting a motor on this. My name's Horace.
Yeah.
Horace.
I'm assuming a lot of those already had motors. There was, some satellites had motors in, some had a crank. But yeah, the same thing. It was too much of a leap for people who actually know how satellites work or satellite dishes work to kind of go.
Yeah, and he must have run a huge cable daisied all the way over to his house.
Fiber. He was running. How long did it take him? Have you ever seen a whole group of people outside your house setting up, stuff? He's running fiber everywhere. I'm like, my God, it would have taken him a month.
Yeah.
To even get this initiated.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I remember watching this movie over and over and over. I haven't seen it in at least 20 years. But I did watch it many times, and I never remember having that kind of scrutiny about it. Because, like, he's just like, oh, that's fun. It's just, he's making a big satellite array. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. That's a good time.
Because that's what you do.
Yeah. It's, I mean, look, I'll be the first to say that I'll park my brain for your sci-fi. I don't have a problem doing that. Even bad sci-fi, even whatever sci-fi. But this thing is just got some holes in it that glared at me the whole 2 hours or whatever it was. It was a little less than that.
When you watch, if you just happen upon this movie, which you easily can do right now because it's on every free service you can imagine, even free on YouTube. Even YouTube is like, we're not going to charge for this.
We can't charge for this. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You're going to watch it and go, huh, what's the Rotten Tomatoes score on this thing? Like 2?
Yeah.
Guess what? This thing actually reviews fairly good in most places, at least middle level.
Well, it's
middle level and above.
That's 6.4 on IMDb, and it's not
on
bad.
On IMDb, really?
Yeah. You're going to be shocked. You're going to walk away and go, oh, what's this thing review? This has got to be like a big bomb. Oh, my God.
It's very on behalf of everybody. I'm shocked.
Yeah, I'm a little shocked. Shocked by it, I tell you.
But like, even if you're the one of us who thinks the least of it, Brian Ibbett, you agree, right, that it's watchable? Like, this is a movie you can sit and watch?
Yeah, it's watchable for basically all the reasons that we say, like all of the entertainment value, the legs bending backwards, the scorpions, the morphing, the bad.
Bad CG,
special
all
effects.
That. Yeah.
The fact that Charlie Sheen is somehow morphing himself into Steven Seagal.
That was crazy. Oh man, when he shut that guy out the thing and that dumb language they speak, where they kind of talk and chirps and pops and stuff.
Yes, right in the elevator.
Yeah. So bad. Anyway, sorry. Continue on. You were making.
Oh, I think I've covered it. It's watchable. Okay.
It's watchable.
am I really the person who thinks the least? I can't imagine. I can't believe that. That you're all not down here with me.
I'm both at the top and the bottom on this at the same time.
Oh, no. You and I dude, we're sharing seats, one cheek on each side.
All right, good. Okay.
Yeah, this is not, I don't think this is a good movie at all. I think this is actually kind of a terrible movie, but it's one of the most perfect film sack movies we've ever chosen.
Yes. It's a must watch if you haven't watched this movie. It's the kind of movie you watch and you can't wait to get out and get your friends to also watch it
for sure. Like, 100%. Basically, as soon as I got done watching it, or even right when that first bent leg scene happens, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait.
We got to
see a reaction in chat when somebody sees that for the first time.
That's the thing is too, like, the movie, when, as soon as that first guy's legs bent, I was like, it felt like I had been taken back in time to 1984, whatever it was. And I'm watching V again. You remember V?
Yeah.
V had the same
time she eats a rat.
Yeah. And her mouth, her jaw opens up like that.
Her jaw.
It's that kind of discordance that was hard to take serious even then. And you see this now and you just go, holy shit. All right, now I'm in. I'm all in on whatever the bullshit is here. Because it was so stupid. Like, he looked that looked terrible. Him bending his legs back. Yes. At least the kid looked like he kind of did it. You know?
Kind of. And then the whole like special effect of how they have to run. Like it's like the special effects people said, oh, it'll be really cool. We'll make their legs bend backwards. And they stopped there and didn't say, by the way, how should we make it look like, you know, when they run? Like, you know,
what advantage should this give them?
Right,
in the running, and it turns out
it gives them a jumping advantage, and I'm like,
it's like hopscotch, basically, is what they look like they're doing the entire way. Whoop, 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 they're running away.
I'll get, you know what, Dunaway's right though. It gives them leaping power that they wouldn't have without it. But
I don't even understand running? That because I'm like, can I jump backwards further than forwards? I'm like, I don't think so. And I'm sitting there trying it out. I'm like, oh, no,
I mean, they reminded me of grasshopper legs. Except grasshopper legs, when they're in repose, are like way up above your head like that. And these are not like that. So I don't know how the physics of this would actually function. I think probably poorly is my guess. But that kid didn't need to do it. When he's running down the thing, I'm like, you'll run faster with your human legs, dude.
Right. The way you've been running fast this entire movie. Oh, I need to slow down.
Yeah.
But don't worry if you go back to the cut right after that. They filmed both, apparently. They filmed, I guess, some special effects with the kid running. And they had another scene where he's a little bit further away and he's just running with his regular legs.
Yeah.
It's kind of
that's
hilarious.
The one we got, or that's the one I saw, was the regular legs walking, running. That was Prime.
Afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he's just the first shot, he's like kind of lumbering away with his backwards legs. And then the next shot it cuts to, and he's way off in the distance with enough bushery to kind of cover his legs. And now he's like jogging like a normal kid. And it's like, all right, movie, just decide what you're going to do. But I kind of love that. Like, that's the stuff that I do not want removed. It is the only reason this is worth watching. Yes. That weird shit. The fact that nitrogen freezes these aliens and makes them look stupid.
It doesn't kill them. And they're going to melt eventually.
But that is, it's enough that he can reach out and grab Sheen's arm, but he can't move his mouth enough to say, last chance or whatever.
Everybody loved a good arm chopping though. Somebody's frozen arm is always entertaining.
Always is. And you know why? Because it hits the ground and shatters. That's why.
Exactly.
There's something about that.
Something no one's brought up, which I think the movie really wants you to be excited about, is finding out is finding out whether or not Terry Polo's character is an alien.
Yes. Oh, sure. Yeah.
I think that's what the movie wants. And I think that's why I'm so forgiving on the weird depiction of her as a jilted girlfriend, because you have to have that. If she is just a normal person who is just like, you know what? I've had enough. I'm out. Mm-hmm. Then you don't ever get this really fun moment when he starts questioning whether she is also a human or an alien. Right. And then he starts making really bad decisions because he doesn't know. Right. Like, actually, I feel like that's pretty deft in the end. Like when along the way, you're just going, come on. What? Like, so I saw this movie when it was, you know, fresh, and I was Terry Polo's she's a few years older than me, but I was so freaking in love with her in this movie.
Oh yeah. When she had the pixie haircut, right?
I like that. And I like that I don't know. I kind of predicted that she wasn't an alien early on, but I like that there was some question. That was a kind of a fun back and forth.
Well, but the thing about this movie is the way the tech works, anyone can be an alien because they can have made someone look like your girlfriend.
Right.
So,
aren't there going to be more than one aliens? And lots of times you have alien factions. It's like one faction is like, kill all humans. Another one is like, but those humans need to be saved. We can't do this. And so you always suspect there's going to be like that two-faction alien.
Sure. But the minute, you got to admit, though, the minute you saw Ron Silver was even in the credits, you went, okay.
That guy's an alien. Yeah.
He's going to be an alien. Or at the very least, he's in cahoots with them, right? And he's working
He's going to be funding the aliens is what I was expecting.
Yeah. Especially
anyway, I hadn't seen the movie in over 20 years. When we got to the point where he starts doubting whether his girlfriend is an alien or not, I was all in. And then when it was revealed that she was definitely still her human, you know, person that is, she really sticks with him through a lot, you know, when that was all revealed, I was so relieved. Oh, what a, wow. Good job, movie. You gave it to me. You know? Yeah.
You actually made it work. And then the sequel, I guess the character is his brother. So that's how they keep the continuity.
Patrick Muldoon is Sheen's brother.
Yeah.
In the sequel.
And Sheen's somewhere else doing more good work for the alien cause. I don't know. Some bullshit like that. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, the dumbest name I've heard for an evil corporation to this day is Planet Corp. That's stupid. That's so stupid.
Yeah.
I heard that one.
I didn't even catch that. That's hilarious.
It's when Sheen goes, like, you've got Planet Corp all over the world. I'm like, Planet Corp.
Come on.
Oh, we didn't have the budget for a better name. What do you want from us?
Yeah, we're aliens. We don't know. We just call
By
it.
By the way, part two, they dropped the from it. It says Arrival 2. If it wasn't hard enough to freaking find this movie, whenever you look for The Arrival, if you don't type in The Arrival 1996 Charlie Sheen, you're going to get hit by Arrival.
Do you think Denis really Villeneuve, with his amazing movie called The Arrival, do you think when they named it that, he was like, oh, let's screw with everyone and show them this horror, this name. They will think it is the bad movie with Sheen. I think that's
What makes this so even more confusing is his was Arrival, and now the sequel is Arrival 2. Well, the sequel to The Arrival.
Yeah. It's kind of effed up. But do yourselves a favor. This is a good, just a regular reminder now that it's come up. If you haven't seen, anyone out there listening hasn't seen Villeneuve's Arrival from 2016, is it? 16, I think.
I think it's 2016.
It was right before Blade Runner, which I think was the next year.
What makes it 20 years after this one, or is that right? Or 20?
Yeah, 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh my gosh, to celebrate 20 years of The Arrival, let's do a good movie. But that movie is so good and so heads and tails above what this is.
Yeah.
I say you're watch definitely them both, watching. But,
you definitely want to watch The Right Arrival. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for a good movie.
Yeah. Right. If you're trying to spend wisely. All right. Do that.
Yes.
I wrote here, what is with the gigantic prop flathead screwdriver? Now.
Oh, yeah.
Why was that? Is that real? Do people make screwdrivers that large? Because that
looks. Absolutely, dude.
That was comical. It was so big. Yeah.
I love giant wrenches and screws. Like, it's like, you know what? We have a scaling problem, and so we're just going to scale up the tool. I love when we do that stuff. I'm not going to rethink it or anything. It's always, it works at this size. Let's just make it bigger.
Because it felt like it was like, hey, Charlie Sheen looks too large. Let's make him look tiny. Let's make the world's largest screwdriver that there's no possible screw out there that would take this thing.
And also because he's threatening her with it, so it has to look like it could be a formidable weapon. But you have like little tiny Phillips is like, I'm gonna poke a hole in you.
A little tiny Phillips. That's fun to say.
And were you surprised when we got naked, fully naked Charlie Sheen so quickly?
Oh yeah, didn't get his reverse cheeseburger though. That seemed to be
covered by a banister or whatever.
I love him getting toweled off. I love the gentle push during this whole movie to tell us that it's hot. How do we know it's hot? Because we're constantly spraying Charlie Sheen with something to make him.
Yeah, he was never not sweaty. And the funny thing is, like when she's out there toweling him off, I am to assume that's because he's just a sweaty mess out there.
Yeah, yeah, because everything is hot. Yeah. They don't like directly necessarily say it's hot, but constantly on the news in the background is like, there's 110 over here. So hot.
I want to give the movie credit for that. I feel like it played it safe and it let you, the viewer, discover what was going on rather than hitting you over the head with it.
But when when she hugged him from behind and the old ladies out there looking at him, there's, if you're that hot and that sweaty, you don't want anyone hugging on you, dude.
Freaking out. No.
That seems
plus,
like
the
bullshit.
Aliens are going to be so easy to spot. They're the ones not sweating. He's an alien. Look, there's an alien.
That's true. That's true. Ron Silver never pits out, you know?
Not a sweat drop.
Nope. But if he touches himself, purple goo. Oh, wrong movie.
That's right.
Get a lot mixed up again.
Probably would have happened in this one, too.
Yeah. I'll tell you what grossed me out and shouldn't have. But I'll let you guys guess.
So it wasn't the guy at the lecture that Charlie Sheen interrupts and does a mic drop. There's a wad of spit that comes out of his mouth, a large one.
Perhaps you would like the microphone.
17 minutes and 46 seconds, because I have to mark this one.
I somehow missed that. Gosh dang it, that would have been number one. I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's all right.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah, that seems like a strong one. No, that is not it. I mean, what grossed me out the most is kind of, it's a practical effect, but knowing that you just rub your face with a hand towel that has a scorpion in it, venomous or not, that gives me the shits, dude. I do not like that one bit. Just the idea that it's in there, because she at one point, you know, she gets out of her shower. They're creeping around already because Coffin Boy's already been to the house or whatever.
Right.
He wipes her face with that off yellow towel, takes it off her face, sets it down.
She drops it and the scorpion just slides
right out of it. Yeah, that really gets me. That really gets me.
Gross.
So that's what grossed me out, even though.
Oh, I can see it. Although you have to have been grossed out, though, by the conditions of the bathroom that Charlie Sheen was trying to take a bath in.
That was pretty bad.
Because he gets naked and you're like, oh, are you barefoot in there?
Yeah.
Naked.
They made that. Is that a hotel? What was that?
It was a hotel. Yeah.
Okay.
The best hotel.
Yeah. The best hotel in town. Why was the lady on the floor below him after it all collapsed? Why was she sitting, squatting in a sink naked?
Because I think she might have jumped out of the bathtub before it crashed on her, too.
Okay.
Everybody takes a bath at the same time in that hotel.
I thought she was on a toilet.
I thought she was
leaning underneath a sink, but I could be. We'll have to go. Let's review the tape, naked lady. Let's review the tape.
I thought she was on a sink. So this just shows you how confusing.
I thought she was on a sink too. I thought she had jumped from the bathtub onto the sink or something.
I was like, if you're gonna, I don't think you're gonna be modest. If tubs just went stacking, you're not going to be modest.
No, who cares?
Whatever.
Yeah, who cares at that point?
My notes before the bathtub came through, by the way, was, hey, Dunaway, what does the water symbolize in this shot? It's all dripping down the walls. And stuff.
Death. Symbolizes death.
Wow. All right.
This is yet another movie that clearly wanted an R rating and did the bare minimum of net nudity to get it. Mm-hmm. Like there it could have been so much more blatant, the nudity in this movie.
All of it. This is R. I didn't know that. Oh,
well, I mean, we see a naked lady,
right?
Well, it says PG-13 in the IMDb. I don't know if that's accurate, but I mean, she's naked, but she's far away naked. Maybe that's
exactly.
Maybe it's that's less of an issue. Yeah. I couldn't really get much detail out of it, to be honest. I was trying.
I couldn't.
I didn't pause and zoom or anything, but you know, I thought about it.
Enhance, zoom, enhance.
Yeah.
Is that a nipple?
He had a real, I got to say this about him, looking at a photo of Sheen in the role. He looked like Gordon Freeman from Half-Life.
Oh, yes, he did. I always think that.
And when I watched, when he got down in the basement thing, all my Half-Life bells were ringing. I was like, in some ways, I thought, okay, Half-Life comes out in 1998, so we're 2 years away from that game. This would have been around the time they would have started work on Half-Life. Is it possible that Gabe Newell and company over at Valve were inspired by Sheen and his goatee and his glasses? I don't know, but you could make the argument. He looks like him.
Yeah, totally.
It's weird, except Gordon Freeman never talks. And I kind of wish that was true, Charlie Sheen.
I love some of the low light shots with Charlie Sheen's glasses that he wears here with those half rim glasses. And they always are projecting those shadows of like extra concentration lines in his forehead. And it's kind of cool.
Yeah. And it makes he was a, you know, bona fide at the moment, looked like he was going to be a bona fide regular leading man type guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before the crazy set in. And
right.
And I, you know, I would have bought it.
I think he was already crazy. Did you ever see his poetry in the GQ magazines? Did you ever see that?
No.
No.
What?
He did poetry in GQ, like as
explain.
Submitted article or something or what? That's what?
Here I'll post a little
link
there. Here you go.
Please
enjoy your Charlie Sheen musings.
Hold on. Here. Oh my gosh. All right.
Yeah.
Is that his drawing?
No, that's illustrations by Adam Rifkin.
Okay. Hold on.
But
here.
As you can imagine, that top of scalp, I'm assuming.
So that's why GQ was on your mind. I used to have a subscription to GQ.
Oh, we all did. It was the GQist. Well, you had to have a GQ.
I I got two.
You didn't pay for cologne, did you?
No, but I got two. There was a time when I, you know, was like single in the 90s. I got two magazines. I got Esquire and GQ.
Yeah, of course you did.
And wow. One was so much better than the other. I'm okay. Not going to say which.
I'm going to read one of these poems, and I'm going to do it let's do it with this on here. All right. So check this out. This is by Charlie Sheen. I don't know the title. Oh, here it is. A thoughtless soul. As he pulled his head from the drool-stained pillow, his eyes blood red, his oxygen shallow, feet on the carpet, that pain to fight. These are the effects of another night. Oh. A night of drink, a night of hate, a night of dark as last night's date. What does that mean? A look to the mirror, no face of youth, self-inflicted carnage, a cracked and hollow tooth. Brian, hopefully this will help you with the next song. This punishment of
music to it.
Give me a good tune. This punishment is a vile choice, so worthless yet so bold, carving lines of disrespect, this young lad growing old, yet masking truth and hiding pain, will surely take its toll. Will he undo others or to himself remain a thoughtless soul?
Wow.
It's not that bad. It's all right.
Poetry or a cry for help?
I was going to say I'm sure it's very self, you know, this is autobiographical poetry.
I just want to appreciate you for picking music that made me feel like you were reading poetry on the Lawrence Welk show.
Right. No, it's the Dear Martha music for when Ken Burns Civil War documentary stuff.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
Dear Martha. The next poem was actually even better. ID Blues.
Oh, you want to
read it? Yeah, I'll do this one.
All right. Let me give you some music. Hold on. Okay. You ready? Right. This is the most inappropriate thing I could find. All right, go for it.
Perfect.
Go for it.
ID Blues by Charlie Sheen. Excuse me, aren't you? Hey, you look just like... Oh my God, that's... Sorry to interrupt your dinner, but aren't you... Look, I never do this, but my wife thinks you're... My friend is so convinced that you're... I'm so embarrassed, but aren't you... I know you must be tired of this, but... Wait! All eyes held in stare. All mouths locked open in shock as he pulled the latex Charlie Sheen mask from his head, revealing the rotted skull of President Lincoln.
Wow. What drugs are these? Jeez. Tiger blood, duh, right?
Right.
That's amazing. All right.
That's fantastic.
Thank you, Dunaway, for introducing us to this nightmare. This is fantastic.
No kidding.
Really, really good stuff. All right.
One last. Yeah, I know you're about to get to clips. A couple notes. They show a building. They show the National Center for Atmospheric Research.
Yeah.
That Scorpion Lady works at. That is NCAR. It's in Boulder, and it's about. I can be there in 20 minutes.
Whoa!
No.
And capture that same shot that they did.
You should go. You should get out there.
I do go there, and it used to be where the local podcasting meetup, when meetup.com was a big thing, was held. And so I'd go there, and I would answer questions and stuff like that.
So they had space for – well, that makes sense. They had space for that kind of stuff. That makes sense.
They had space for that sort of thing. And they also have a really cool – like you can go there for free, walk in, and go through like a little museum of – showing weather patterns and how they move across the world and what makes a tornado spin this way or that way and hurricanes and that sort of thing. It's really, really cool.
That actually sounds awesome. Yeah. I would check that out. All right. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Yeah, please.
I got another trope. I just want to
make sure. Let's do a trope alert. Down. Hold on. What's wrong one? Shit. I'm on the wrong tab. That one is definitely not it. Here we go.
The trope is called Rewarded as a Traitor Deserves. Mm. And the Rewarded as a Traitor Deserves trope in this movie is when Sheen has lost his job. Zane has lost his job. Mm-hmm. He calls his buddy back at work, who is being raided by government agents at the time, and says repeatedly, "Don't tell them about the backup system." And his buddy back at work eventually tells them because he's such a traitor. And then, of course, that's what gets you killed. That'll get you killed immediately.
That's a good one. I like the name of that one, too.
Is there a trope for if there's going to be a parade, you have to go the opposite way as the parade and go down the middle of the parade?
Is there a trope where it's not Day of the Dead if you're in Central Mexico in a movie?
That's another good one.
It has to be, yeah. Right, it always has to be a big funeral or something.
Oh my gosh, yeah. The parade or any movement of people and clawing back the other direction is so common. I never even thought about it till you said it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's crazy. And he's shirtless.
No one ever goes the only time you ever go the same direction as the parade is in another one by the same guy, The Fugitive.
Oh, right. Right. Yeah. Right. He wrote this, right? The Fugitive, right?
Yeah.
See, the guy's got writing chops, mostly.
My version of this trope is that there's always a parade in particular places. Mexico, it's a Day of the Dead parade. If you're in Chicago, there is always
St. Patrick's Day.
Or there's a police funeral and they're parading along, right? There's
I think so also New Orleans.
There's always Mardi Gras parade.
How do you know you're in New Orleans if there's not Mardi Gras? Come on.
Didn't we just see a movie with a Christmas parade in it? Was it Batman Returns? I think that was it, where it said Gotham Christmas Parade or something.
And that the most controversial film we ever saw on FilmSack, Jingle All the Way, has a parade, right?
That's gosh. I was reminded the other day that the hat or the face mask he wore only covered like his forehead, and he took it off in front of his kid, and the kid was surprised that it was him underneath.
Father?
What a piece of shit. That's the biggest piece of shit we ever watched, for real. Yeah. I hate that.
Oh, it was
movie.
So controversial. Go back and listen to that episode sometimes.
What a junky, horrible.
With our reactions to each other.
I know there are people with very fond childhood memories, and I don't want to take that away from them, but that movie sucked.
Well, why don't you build some new memories with the arrival of the video game?
Yeah, that's
1997.
Right. Yeah. Did you ever, have you played that? I watched some video of that.
I watched some video of it. I never played it, but it's point and click adventure. It's supposed to be set 10 years after, Charlie Sheen makes the promise. She'll know. Mm-hmm. I'll know. We'll all know. Mm-hmm.
Did not review well, but it played like kind of Doom or not Doom. What's the game that everyone missed? It reminded me of Myst.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
First person view. The camera kind of zoomed around. Super choppy and ugly. Or a Fennel Link.
My environmental puzzles, point and click. Okay.
Yeah, there it is.
You move through it really slowly because your legs are bent backwards.
Maybe that's
why you're so slow. But it is kind of on rails. It was two discs. At some point, you had to swap discs out.
Yeah.
CDs. It's a bad.
It's just a good reminder to get up.
Yeah. But you do go down to the alien tunnels and, you know, you get to see the best 3D Studio Max work that people were doing in 97.
Yeah.
And that's to say bad. It's very poorly made.
I don't know why it bothered me in this film. I've seen it in a million other films, but aliens always have a red alert button at every station, no matter how deep you go inside the facility. Someone's always within,
and I like how it's they use the same red blue like police lights.
Yep they were into it.
How consistent.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I think time for clips, eh?
Time for the clips. I think it's time.
Right. Yeah, I like it. Clips. I like this time for clips. Let's get to it. This is a number of clips for just first start. I didn't do a ton because I don't know. The movie's not, doesn't have a ton of like notable comments.
No, it's mostly visual stuff. You're like, oh.
Here's your, I did that through the whole movie, funny enough. Here is Haystack and Needles comment by Richard Schiff. Since we don't have much of him, here he is.
Might as well look for a needle in a
haystack of needles.
I just like that concept.
Needles.
That's what a haystack is needles.
Yeah, but
I always think this. I think everybody thinks it's always a little metal pokey needle in a haystack. A haystack is made of hay needles.
I thought it was. It is a single needle.
It's hard to find a single needle that you're looking for in a needle of hay.
No, that's not it. That's not it. You're supposed to find. Okay. So Ibbot's right. It's a needle like the kind you'd poke something with, hidden inside a giant haystack, and your job is to find that needle and not poke yourself. I don't know if it has to do with it or not. Right? Isn't it?
Okay.
That's the way I've always...
Live in your world.
I could have sworn that's what that meant, but maybe I've been wrong all these years. But the point is, it doesn't work anyway, because when Schiff says a needle in a haystack made of needles... It's supposed to be like, oh, it's just worse than you think. It's doubly worse or doubly hard. But what he's saying is that what he means is you need one unique needle inside of a giant needle haystack, right? Or a stack of needles.
If you had a stack of needles, that would suck to reach into.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe they didn't think about that when they wrote it, is what I'm saying.
I don't think they thought about a lot of things.
That's true. They thought about howling, so here's this.
Wolf 336, you are howling.
It's like the weekend at Sheen's house. I'll tell you what, right there.
Yeah.
Cow farts.
If I don't get this data, I might as well be counting cow farts in Montana.
Yeah. that actor got second billing, but she was barely in this. So I don't know. Is she a big deal? What's her name?
The Scorpion Lady?
Yeah. Her name. No. Yes. The one that died. Lindsay Krause. Is she from stuff I should know and go, oh, yeah, right. She's. I mean, I see Slapshot, Places in the Heart, The Insider. She's still doing shit.
She was married to David Mamet.
Oh, no way. That's pretty big.
Her daughter is Zosia Mamet from Girls.
One of the girls from Girls?
One of the girls from Girls.
Yeah.
Girls, girl.
That's interesting.
Girls, girl.
Because that's another famous daughter, because News Guy's daughter is also in Girls, right?
Right.
Not Jennings, but the other one. The one that lied about the Iraqi helicopter guy. I can't remember his name. Anyway, I know too much about that stupid story. Moving on.
Did we watch? Yeah. Did we? Can you not hear me? Oh, okay.
No, we can.
Did we watch House of Games?
House of Games?
Oh. House of Games. It was a David Mamet film. Okay.
It's Mamet. Okay.
Yeah. And it's like the game. I guess I watched it for when we were doing pre-recommendals with Nicole. It was recommendals, but it was where she gave us topics. And I watched this one. And this is another one where she is, Lindsay Krause plays the main character, and she's basically going through this experience where she's like, wait, does everybody in on the same thing? Does everybody know each other?
Is this the Joe
Montana? Very similar to the game, movie, the game.
Joe Montana guy in it?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think I've seen, David. So this is a David Mamet joint.
It's a David Mamet joint. Yep.
Why is this familiar? I remember
Ricky Jay, J.T. Walsh.
Oh my gosh!
That's why I thought we might have watched it for FilmSec, but it's really good, and it's fascinating when she finally realizes that everybody's in on it and that they're basically everybody's working together.
That's interesting. Yeah. Wait, William H. Macy, much younger than this. Wow.
Yes. Oh gosh. Yeah.
Well, you kind of make me want to see it now.
It's good. It's
you probably made me kind of want to see it when you first recommended it, and then I forgot all about it.
Maybe I did, but so it's that might be where the two of them met, but it's the director and the star.
Nice.
We're married for a while.
I have now written it down. Okay, this is interesting. You can always tell what I'm going to do when I say that. Brian's mom sent me a tape. Now sometimes it goes well, your dates, your proms and things.
Sure.
Right? Sometimes they go a little
rough.
Seems
very rarely on this show.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like we don't really showcase all the massive successes you had on those dates.
Right.
But today, so you gave you thought this one girl was going to be it, so you made a mixtape, and you love music, you know, it's a thing you're into. And you
so made far, her, that actually tracks, yeah.
Yeah, so far we're good. So you made her this awesome mixtape with all her favorite songs, and then she broke up with you, so you had to say this. After that, okay, here you go.
I want my tape back. I want it back.
Yeah, there you go.
But that actually seems like the most accurate of any of the prom recordings, because I did make mixtapes for girls, and there might have been one. Maybe there was one where I was like, you know what? You suck. Give me my tape
give
back.
Me my I'm tape
give
back.
It to somebody else.
Yeah. Give it back.
Give All it right. back. Give me my tape back.
Here's Emilia. Here's what's his real name? Charlie Sheen's real name is something. Estevez.
It's just Charlie Estevez, isn't it?
Isn't it Charlie or something else? It's like Juan.
Charles. Carlos Estevez.
Carlos, maybe. It might be it. It's something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's
Carlos Irwin Estevez.
Yeah, there it is. You were right about Carlos. That's dead on. Yeah. He dipped back into some of his early life speaking, so here he is. Yeah, that's him. That's him securing some additional hacked satellite dishes.
Apparently with a porno going on behind him, too.
Yeah. Yeah, which will get you in big trouble.
And by the way, I guess this is another movie where our main protagonist is an expert with, like, telecommunications.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Sometimes the nerds win. You know,
like three days of the Condor is nothing if our main character isn't an expert in the phones.
Is there a trope, a name for a character who is like that?
Instant expert.
Well, not just that, but they become entrenched in finding out what's been going on. They understand the conspiracy, so they show up at a central place in public, kind of disheveled and beat up from their experience to confront the bad guy. I don't know why that sounds so familiar to me, but he did that in this with Ron Silver, and it reminded me of a million movies I couldn't name. Just that whole, like, I know what you've done, and he's secretly filming. Like, all of that really felt familiar, and I haven't seen this movie, so I felt like it was
something
else.
And then the
else.
Bad guy is trying to walk across the Washington Mall and get away from the conversation, and the good guy sticks with him and keeps talking.
It's maybe JFK, or maybe it's some. I don't know what it is, but it's some kind of... that's ringing a bell. Maybe it's like Enemy of the State or some other movies do this, and it always sticks with me. So that one really reminded me of it. Anyway, here's one about getting back to you.
Not really sure. We'll have to get back to you on that.
That's that guy. Love that guy.
Yeah, Leon Rippey.
Yeah, he's great in all things he does. Still with us, I think. I think he's still with us.
Think so, yeah.
Or Rippey.
There's a little bit of a... who's the guy who's in Frost Nixon? Like, there's that guy who's Nixon and Frost Nixon, then the guy who played Darkman. There's kind of a similar look that these guys all have.
Oh, what's his name? They all kind of, you're right. They all have the same genetic face.
Yeah.
And I can't think of any other names now.
I know. I can't. Let's see. Darkman was Larry Drake.
Larry Drake, who was the... He was the bad guy in Dave. He was he won an Oscar. Right. He's I think for Nixon, right? Oh shit, Frost v. Nixon.
Yes, that guy is
Frank Langella.
Frank Langella. Yeah.
Oh, it came to me. It finally came. Yeah.
Got to put all three of these guys side by side because they all have a very similar look.
Yeah, you should put. There should be a three-way buddy cop movie with those three. Yeah, in it. That'd be
great. Like,
and they're all brothers. Right,
yeah. Realize it. They're all for different precincts, and they meet.
Call it Three Psychopaths and do a sequel to Seven Psychopaths. All right, here's. I just watched that, so I've been thinking about it. Anyway, this kid drove me crazy. Here's a clip.
When can I do something?
Okay, get that key.
What one?
That one.
This one here?
Yes.
Are you sure it's okay?
I'm sure it's okay.
This one right under my finger?
Give me your badge, you're fired.
I'll do it, I'll do it.
Yeah. All right. Whatever, kid.
That whole scene drove me up a wall. They were never gesturing to a single discrete key.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Nope. I thought it was hitting the escape key. Exactly. He's like, oh, it's the F1.
Oh,
I don't think so.
Really? Okay.
Wow. Yeah, that didn't make sense.
Yeah. It just reminded me how much I like that scene with Rocket Raccoon and Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Press the red button. No, not that button. Which button are you going to push?
Yeah, it's like they understood that trope and they laid into it. That was great.
Yes, exactly.
This one decided to be a part of the problem, you know?
Yes.
Anyway, here is a slow... This bothered me because I got... Well, I just know how the internet worked back then and it annoyed me, so here's that.
Slow modem, so waiting. So, when are you coming home, Zane?
Okay, so she's pausing because the modem's taking forever to get her the info.
Yeah.
How are you on the phone then?
Well, she's at
work. She's two lines.
All right. Two lines is the only way you get away with this. It's the only way.
I think she's at work, right?
Oh my gosh, did you guys do that, by the way?
Terry Polo constantly sounds like she's doing a 976 number, though.
Slow-mo notes are waiting.
No, she does. 1-900-CALL-ME. Well,
yeah. She is talking to her boyfriend, you know?
Yeah, but when she's mad at him, like he's been gone for 4 weeks, she still talks like this.
Yeah, she's a...
She's not really mad at
him. They set her up, though, to be to be suspicious, and it worked, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, fooled me.
Yeah.
Hey, I love her voice. I'm not complaining.
No, you're into it.
You might say I'm doing it as the opposite of complaining.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I'm slobbering. Here's a sound that you make when you get bit by a scorpion. Okay, so this is what you do. You go like this.
I knew the second I heard that. Oh, there's a
yeah,
clip.
That's a clip. Forever. Yep. Yeah. It's a very dumb one. And then it echoed for like 20 seconds, and it's stupid. Here's some language. That reminds me of your misophonia or phobia, whatever it's called.
It sounds like great. It sounds like he's eating taffy.
Reminded me of something taffy out of Star Wars.
In a Star Wars? Yeah, really?
Yes. It's a Greedo. It sounds like Greedo talking.
Right. Oh, sure. Those are Greedo eating noises. That's what that is.
That's what Greedo sounds like when he's eating before he says McClunky.
Yeah. Actually, here's the description of what that sound is.
I look like a can of smashed assholes.
It's the sound of smashed assholes. Yeah. What a weird thing to say. Do you remember that when people used to say a bag? Go eat a bag of smashed ass. Yeah, or a bag of dicks. Like, why is it always a bag of stuff?
I'd never heard a can of smashed assholes.
Me neither.
Or a bag of smashed assholes.
I've heard the smashed assholes in other contexts, but, you know, most people say,
I love you like a can of smashed ass. Like that?
No.
Other context.
More like rude, but why is it always bags? Douche bag. Bag of dicks. Bag of hammers. Dumb as a bag of hammers. I hear that sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't get it. Bags are getting a bad rap. No one ever says sack. No one says sack of assholes.
No. Yeah, no, that's pretty good. Sack of smashed assholes. That sounds great.
Yeah, that's all right.
No, it doesn't sound great, but it sounds really funny. Like it'd be a great thing to say to somebody.
Yep. Here's when he knew that trusting Kiki was a bad idea. Enjoy.
Now, Kiki, hit it now.
Kiki, the red transmit key. Hit it now. For shit's sake, hit it now. Now, hit it now.
Oh my gosh.
Poor Kiki.
Rude, press the red button. Rude.
It's almost like they were parroting that. Now that you say it, that's funny. All right, fun stuff. That's your clips. Now this. I have in my hands the Film Sack checklist. First, number one here is there are many Ron Silvers, but this one is ours. Check. Send in the alien cleaner ball. Check. And finally, legs on backwards is best. Check. Let's get to the Star Trek connections. You let one leak earlier, but you've got actors and things. What do you got there, Randy?
Give me Leon Rippey.
Yay!
Leon Rippey, man. Oh, my gosh. He is so memorable from one episode of The Next Generation where he is a rich man from Earth. He's wealthy in the past, and when he died, he was cryogenically frozen and put into a space capsule. And the Enterprise comes across the capsule, brings the people who were cryogenically frozen back to life. And there's Leon Rippey from 200 years in the past on the Enterprise.
Wow.
And, oh, man. He's so good as this smarmy, self-possessed, you know, rich guy who isn't getting his way in the future with Jean-Luc Picard.
This isn't the one where they found the Irish people and brought them back, right? This is different than that.
That's a different episode. Okay. I'm talking about an episode called The Neutral Zone.
Okay. Well, that could be
That's what I call it. Yeah. down there.
Overwhelms this episode. His character in the episode was named Sonny Clemons, which is just
oh my god,
so good.
Clemons, like a southern rich guy. That's perfect.
Yeah,
racist probably. Anyway, that Rippey guy could play a lot of racist people, and when he dies, people will say Rip Rippey, which I think is great.
Rip.
Or Rip Riptorn. Remember when he died? Rip Riptorn.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Rip Riptorn. Let's get to soundtrack grade. You know what's funny? I was about to say, wait, Frank Langella was also in Star Trek. He was in DS9. I realized he's not in this movie. We just talked about Frank Langella. Yeah. He looks like Rippy. Anyway, Star Trek connections we did. Let's go to the soundtrack grade. I'd give it a T for typical for this sort of thing. It's fine. It's whatever. It's not fine. Great. The montage of him doing other dishes and stuff had kind of a cool 90s rock vibe thing that was okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. It's fine. It's all fine. None of it bugged me. None of it thrilled me. It was just kind of there.
It's a composer that we have talked about not too long ago. Arthur Kempel also composed the soundtrack for Mystery Men, which we mentioned at the time.
And we probably also said the same thing then.
Yeah, okay. Sounds like a serial killer. Yeah. Arthur Kempel killed 15 people.
Totally does.
Doesn't the Kempel Martyrs.
It might, because it's, well, it does sound like that guy's name from Mindhunter. The big guy with the mustache that's so freaky. What's his name?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Temple, Kempel, Kempel, Dimple.
His third most prominent score was for Double Impact.
Oh my lord! Oh. Have we done Double Impact?
Is that the Jean Claude?
I think so.
Who knows? No one really knows.
We have done. Oh, you know what? I was thinking of Double Dragon, which we have done, but we have not done Double Impact.
We have not sacked Double Impact.
Oh, we got to get on that shit.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, well done. There's that. Let's move on now to our social post. This is where you guys share with the public at large your thoughts and feelings as you sum up this film in 280 characters or less. And this week, look, it's the last episode of the year. I think I'm going to change things up radically and start with Randy.
By the way, I have to preface this because I happened to write it in the same meter as the Billy Joel song, We Didn't Start the Fire.
Okay. I was really hoping you wrote it the same meter as the Charlie Sheen GQ poetry.
Which doesn't seem to have a consistent meter about it at all. But
I have to acknowledge it in advance because I'm tempted to just sing.
I'm not going to do it.
All right.
So here we go. The Arrival. Why don't you believe this guy when he speaks of hidden truths? All he does is search the sky with the help of a next-door youth. Forget that part. Focus on his sidestepping of aliens. Everyone from dusk till dawn turns out to not be sapiens, to the point where you don't know if anyone, including him, are Earthlings or they're fake, they're faux. Just wearing a Ron Silver skin.
Ron Silver skin.
That was pretty good. I like it. Let's scoot over to Dunaway.
Scooch. The Arrival.
Scooch.
Like counting cow farts in Montana with Charlie Sheen. It doesn't sound like fun at first, but then you find yourself toweling off a sweaty Sheen on a balcony at 2 a.m. Too invested to quit. Hashtag winning. Hashtag kneecaps go on the front side.
Yeah, they do. Also, does it hurt when they did that change?
It sure looked like it did, right? Because there was a sound.
My head, it did.
Yeah,
it cracked, but they never seemed to go or anything. They just sort of.
I wish the aliens have done that every time. As a matter of fact, we should add those special effects. And you just have to crack, and then.
It's like Wolverine popping his claws. It hurts him every time, but he's just gotten so used to it.
He's just, he's become immune to it. Finally, Brian Hibbett.
The Arrival. The search for intelligent life shouldn't start with this film.
No. In fact, I'm
by
not sure
way,
it should ever go
by
with
the
it.
Way, these aliens clearly arrived a long time ago. This is not about the Arrival.
It's true. Right. No. It's
about the discovery of the Arrival.
What a better term would be
They had it. They had different titles. So what was it really
almost called?
Give us an
before
alternate.
We find out.
Before I give you some real.
It was something very 90s. I'm trying to remember what it was now. It was something like, I don't know. I can't remember.
Alien
the
time.
The knees pop on backwards. I don't know. It was something weird. It was like. Yeah.
Good. Well, they're like us then. We get this little list and I'm going to read it to you now. This movie, according to this list, was almost called We Borrowed Doctor Who Effects and Props and Made a Movie, but that was too long. So they almost went with not doing the movie at all and calling it The Archival. You know, because they just put it away and never made it.
Shockwave was the original title.
Oh, my gosh. That's also a great great Transformer.
We should keep a count of how many movies could have ended with someone pushing a box into a huge warehouse.
Yeah.
Like, this is definitely one of them.
Yeah,
right.
You know, how many movies could have had the Indiana Jones ending?
This could have been it. Yep.
Definitely could have been one of them.
Yep. But they were too busy ripping off tropes from other things, and they ran out of time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're going to get to some emails. We often get texts and voicemails and combination of that and emails, but today it's two emails and emails only. And those came to us at filmsack@gmail.com, and I would like to read this one first. Crap, they didn't leave their name. That's all right. This anonymous person said, "Hey guys, can you name one or more of your already beloved films that you likely would still have enjoyed if they had run times like the Burton Taylor Cleopatra? The 50th anniversary edition clocks in at over 4 hours. Oh, what God. That would be quite a long and winding fury road."
Well, they already know your answer. At least one of your answers.
I mean, my answer is, okay, no, this might surprise people. Like with the Alien one where a bunch of extra shit was added, I don't like that one. And I know, but I also know that that's not Cameron, right? That's the studio doing it. In the case of Fury Road, the only way I'd be interested is if George Miller himself said, my edit is different than the theatrical. It's about an hour longer. I'd be in. But if this was the studio doing it, because my understanding is he got everything he wanted. He worked hard for it and got it. So I am very satisfied with that. But if he said, I've got this longer version I meant to have to go to theaters, and that was somehow the case, I would then be into it. I'd be way into it.
Yeah.
But it depends. I don't want
to. It'd have to come from the director as opposed to, right?
Yeah. If it's just a money grab where they're like,
grab.
Yeah. Like, oh, here's a scene we left out where Charlize Theron uses her fake arm to give a handy to somebody or something.
Smashed assholes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Whatever it is, you know,
the only time I'm ever like down with like more of a movie is if the world building is so intriguing. That's the reason why stuff like Lord of the Rings is fine, because it's you want to go live in those worlds. Mm-hmm. And so give me more of it.
Right.
Blade Runner would be one for me where I wouldn't mind seeing a 4-hour cut of it if it meant that, like, oh, we get more story behind the replicants escape from Nexus 5 or whatever, you know, wherever off world they all escape from. Like, give us some of that, or even have, you know, I don't know, some of the off screen stuff that happens on screen.
Wow. Looking back, man, I would have loved to have seen way more. If I had known we were only going to get one, I would have loved to have seen more of Galaxy Quest. I mean, I know it's just kind of a parallel world of all the other stuff we love, but something about it was just really worked for me, and I would love to visit there and stay longer.
Yeah, that'd be all right. I can't disagree with that. Randy, do you have a example of one you'd be
like? What came to mind for me might not be the best answer, but for some reason, as I was hearing the question, I thought of Rogue One. Okay, and the reason I thought of Rogue One is because we actually have a prequel to Rogue One that is like 14 hours long.
Yeah.
And
right.
And so when I look at it through that lens, like, I watched all of Andor and then rewatched Rogue One. Rogue One felt really short and fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted so much more of it, because there are characters in that movie that I now appreciate so much.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I want more. I want the Andor treatment for the samurai, blind samurai guy. I love those characters, and they are way too brief. Man, that movie's good though. Gosh dang it. Rogue One's good. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people out there really don't like it, but I don't know what's wrong with them. They're broken people.
I don't know
people.
A lot of people don't like it.
It's easily, easily, far and away, the best of the new Star Wars movies, in my opinion. Like, I like it better than the whole trilogy combined. I like it better than Solo, of course, and any other little side piece of business. And of the television shows, I'd take it over most of those, with the exception of Andor, and they're connected. So more of that, please. Disney Plus and your bullshit. All right, let's do this email from Lee, who wrote in. I got their name. It says, "Hi guys, I'd like to suggest that you have an effed up February, which would be this: you watch movies that are messed with your head or are effed up in some way. There are a ton of sci-fi that qualifies. Anything with time travel or clones can get confusing and stupid if not done well. And then there's psychological things like Jacob's Ladder. Trainspotting is one I recall being effed up, but it's been years since I've watched it. A Clockwork Orange is considered a classic and had multiple Oscar nominations and is also effed up. You could fit just about anything into this category. Seems like it could be a fun theme. Love the show, Lee." I like that idea. I like it a lot.
That's a really good idea. Yeah. I think we started our last year or early last year, or I'm sorry, early this year with The Mist, which was a movie that effed me up with that ending.
Yeah, yeah. Are you kidding me with this ending right now? Oh, yeah. Fine.
That thing was
Clockwork
crazy.
Orange has been on our list for a long time.
That is a great one, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of The Mist, rest in peace, Andre Brouwer. That's a terrible loss. Right. The guy's amazing.
God, yeah.
Two of my favorite actors this year, Andre Brouwer and Lance Reddick.
Yeah.
Gone way too soon.
I just did a thing. If you have seen all of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, yes, I implore you to watch the first episode and the last episode as soon as possible.
Wow. All
right. It will really move you how Andre Brouwer's character is treated in those two episodes.
Did they have a proper ending that show, or did they?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. They got a chance to come back. Yeah.
Okay.
And the final episode, it is actually about ending your series.
Mm.
Like they barely don't use the words "we're ending our series together" because they're all leaving Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Mm. But it is just the first scene where they all meet Andre Brouwer's character, and then the last scene where he, you know, basically says goodbye to them all. It's really moving. Mm-hmm. Andre Brouwer was so good.
At playing
this straight man.
He was good in everything he ever did. And that was a killer example of it all coming kind of to fruition. But if you really want to have some fun, go back and watch Glory. That movie's amazing, but he's amazing in it. He's incredible in Homicide: Life on the Street. He's great in The Mist as well. What I respect about that guy was he did this interview where he talked about how his career was heading like the direction of Denzel Washington's, like a black man in Hollywood, really killing it, getting all these great roles. And he made this decision to cut back and like turn down stuff and spend more time with his family and raise his kids. And I just really respected that. He's like, yeah, I could have had, my career could have been much larger. I'm convinced of that, but I don't care. I really enjoyed what I did here. And I don't know. I like that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I like that a lot. That guy was awesome. I miss him already. All right. Let's move on to being done. Oh, that's, by the way, filmsack@gmail.com. If you want to email us, that's great. If you want to text us, here's a way: 801-471-0462. You can also send us voicemails, and I have a couple that'll go in post today that are just a little longer and less questiony. They're a little more statementy. So, and they're older, so I want to make sure they get played. So listen to those. That'll be after the show or right after we close out here. So check those out. In the meantime, join us on Patreon. Now we got some new folks since we last talked, and I love these people. Spaghetti Syntax. A programmer amongst us. Really smart guy. He's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Kyle Kriska. Sleeve Wipe.
That's great.
Yep.
Gross.
Yep. And Eric Austin Lee. These are brand new folks, and we love them, and we welcome them with open arms. Shiny. Perfect time to get in because you're going to get the end of year stuff as well as start the new year, right? If you want to get art in the mail, if you want to get some special episodes from the host, Brian. We just put Brian's up. Yeah. It's about concert films. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
Listen to the whole thing. Enjoy the hell out of it.
And great. Please, if you haven't seen Stop Making Sense and the Last Waltz, those two have to be seen. They're so good.
They're must-watches, you would say.
They're must-watches.
Anyway, if you want that kind of stuff, no one else is going to hear that but patrons. So and us, of course, but get in there. You get pre-show content every week as well, and you'll never get ads. It's a perfect time to jump in. That's patreon.com/filmsack. Today, our next movie, according to our list, is Throw Mama from the Train.
What's the line, Dunaway?
Owen doesn't have a friend.
Owen doesn't have a friend. That's right. I think I have that here. And I haven't even watched it. Let's see. It was so prominent of a thing for Dunaway to say for so many years.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, here it is.
Is he going to be able to say it afterwards?
I know, right? Are you even able to use it again? Here it is.
Owen doesn't have a friend.
Oh, a little preview.
Owen doesn't have a friend.
Yep.
Love it.
I made that, so by the way. I recorded that in... Oh, that was just last year. So never mind.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember when I did
it. I love saying that in real life all the time when somebody talks about having a friend or something. It just it makes me laugh. It's like Tourette's almost. I can't not scream it out loud when somebody says it.
It's good.
Anything
good
that Tourette's. Has the word friend in it.
Yeah, if it has friend in it, it's like... Ah, blah, blah,
yeah, blah. You see the actor Rupert Friend and you say, no one doesn't have a friend. Anyway, that's Throw Mama from the Train. That's next week. A long time coming, that one. I feel like it's been on our list forever. And Dunaway's lips for
and it's
all time.
Notorious in my history because when I was a kid and this movie came out, my mother would not let me see it, wouldn't let me, like, she wouldn't even talk about it because the title of the movie was so rude.
Sure.
Oh,
because it was like, how could you throw your mother?
It's a very violent thing for you know, a mother.
I guess so.
Yes. Offended by the title of the movie. She can't believe that nice Billy Crystal would be in a movie with that title.
Oh, that nice Billy Crystal. Mm-hmm. I saw him throwing out the baseball the other day. Yeah. Can't believe he'd be in something like this.
Hosting the Oscars, and now he's throwing mothers from trains.
We were sitting around the fire pit last night after Christmas stuff, and my daughter's friend was here, and she said, we were talking about SpongeBob stuff.
Doesn't have a friend. <That's
right. laughs> God doesn't have a friend.
Everybody in the circle was like reminiscing about SpongeBob and how great it was, and they all love SpongeBob, have episodes memorized. It's like their generation, right? And this girl goes, my parents didn't allow SpongeBob in our house.
Oh, there's always somebody for a thing.
And instead of me being all kind and sort of supportive, I said, oh, one of those houses.
Oh, yeah.
I think it didn't. It went over fine. She was fine, but.
Yeah.
And she can watch it now. She's 20 something. She can, you know.
I'm looking forward to what it's going to be with my kid like 20 years from now. Like, I can't wait to hear. Like in those days, 20 years from now, they're going to talk about, well, you know, my parents didn't let me have whiskey at age 10 like everybody else, or what? I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like, I think society in general is a little less picky about this, and I don't know what.
Dad used to get upset when I went to Pornhub.
Jeez. I mean, at least you know, a certain generation of parents had The Simpsons to blame for everything. But now you got, what, are you going to blame 900 adultish cartoons that are on a million networks? Like, it's not the same anymore, right? And you no longer can say Mortal Kombat's the problem. I'm sorry, but the video game business has eclipsed the entertainment business about 10 years ago, 12 years ago.
We're hanging out in mixed company the other day, and I've used the animated series Invincible as an example of something that my kid isn't seeing, right?
Yeah.
Right. And then he just piped in and goes, oh, I know that one. And we were like, hold on, what?
Hold up.
We need to investigate this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but he didn't actually, he's never seen it. He's just seen like GIFs that have been pulled from Invincible. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, like, you know, I can't imagine anybody showing their kid The Boys or something. And if you did, you know, I would even question your parenting skills because that seems like a bit much.
Exactly.
But
it's kind of odd because now there's so much stuff coming from so many different directions. And it's like, how do you tell your kid everything not to watch?
Right.
It's like, don't watch that.
It almost helps. It almost helps because there's not a singular target that they want to rebel with anymore. Right. It's almost like it's not worth their time because there's too many choices.
There's too many. It would take them forever.
I wouldn't think to tell my kids not to watch. It's like, I wouldn't even think, are you guys watching that? Mm-hmm. I didn't even know to tell you not to watch The Invincibles.
By the way, this is Randy when he heard his son knew something about Invincible. You ready? This is what you said.
Yeah.
I said, hold up. Wait a minute.
Hold up.
Wait a minute.
Pretty much how I reacted. My head spun 180 degrees all at once.
That's amazing. All right. Well, be here with us next week, everyone. Throw Mama from the train. Get on it. Where's that streaming? Sorry, we didn't say.
I don't know. Oh, it is. I checked it. I'm sure it's streaming.
It's on HBO Max. It's on the Max now.
Oh, it's Max. All right. Of course, Max has all the movies. That's what they do.
It's on the Max.
The Max.
Oh, side recommendation. Nicole had recommended this on TMS, but the Merry Little Batman.
Yes, I enjoyed that.
I loved it a lot. Yeah. The animation style alone is worth the price of admission. Luke Wilson's great.
I watched it yesterday and loved it, but it's my example of could have been a little bit tighter. It felt like the runtime was a bit long for me.
Yeah.
For its purpose.
I think they could have leaned into the weirdness of it a little bit. I think they softened some of that up some, but I think the overall effect was, and this is great for little kids, could totally watch it. It's great.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
And of course, everybody thought of FilmSec, right? When he falls down the sewer into Penguin's lair.
Oh, totally. It's the first thing I thought about.
Oh, really? Oh, funny. I haven't watched it yet, but that sounds hilarious.
Also, the Penguin played by the guy who Jerry wants him to help him make his Pakistani restaurant.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Babu.
Yeah. Babu. Right, yeah. Where is Babu? Hi.
Very bad man.
Very bad man, Jerry. That guy. He plays the Penguin of all things. It's so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, that'll be it for us. Filmsack.com is the website where all links are found. You can find all this stuff there. If you want to leave us reviews wherever you get your shows, that would help us immensely. That's going to do it for us until the year 2024 for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
A can of smashed assholes.
We'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
I want my tape back. I want it back.
I want it back.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.